Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And there's news today that the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, is due to ban all future co-living developments. This move is in part to mitigate against any potential undermining of government housing policies, according to the Minister. And I'm joined now by Enda McGowan, who's Managing Director of Winter Properties Chartered Planning and a Development Surveyor, and also Sinn Féin Housing Spokesperson Eoin O'Brien, TD. And I'll start with you. You've reservations about this move, is that right?
I think so, Claire. Yeah, I mean, look, the realities are, as we sit here today, we need approximately 33,000 housing units across the country to just try and keep up with demand. We have a housing crisis. I suppose what we're doing here by taking this approach, the Minister is banning something rather than maybe reviewing it. I think the only other type of development we have banned in this country is nuclear fission reactors. And essentially, when you put the whole thing in context, currently we have approximately 14 applications with 1,670 beds. So 1,670 beds out of a housing need of 33,000 units. This is not a significant part of the overall solution to the situation, but it is one element that is going to be required to solve the housing crisis.
Well, we know that Taoiseach Micheál Martin had previously said that this type of living, the co-living arrangement, could become like glorified tenement living.
And I've noticed that sort of commentary that has emerged around this type of living. It can if it's built in huge numbers and if we expect people with families to live in this, but it's not designed for that purpose, nor is it intended for that purpose. I've lived in a development like this myself when I went to college. It is an ideal solution for people at a certain point in time who want to have affordable city centre accommodation when they're in their mid-20s, shall we say. It's not something I'd live in now. It's not something you'd be advocating for families. But again, I bring it back to the point. There's 1,600 units out of a total housing shortage of 33,000 units. We have cities which we expect to grow, you know, Dublin in the next 20 years by 200,000, Limerick 47,000, Galway 40,000. How do we intend to provide affordable accommodation in our city centres for young people?
Okay, Eoin O'Brien, can you answer that question?
Sure, the best way to deliver good quality affordable accommodation is for the state to invest directly in affordable cost rental and to give people good quality places to live. Charging somebody €1,300 a month for 12 square metres of private living space isn't a sensible housing solution. Can I say one thing, though, Claire? It's not completely clear if it's the intention of the Minister to ban co-living. He selected one of four options from a departmental report, and I just want to read you exactly what he's proposing. He's proposing to restrict all future commercial co-living development in Ireland. Now, that section of the report goes on to say that the regulations that he will use for those restrictions haven't been used to ban any development type in the past. We have, of course, banned bedsits because they're an inappropriate form of accommodation, and we should also ban co-living. So we'll have to wait to see the finer detail of the Minister's regulations, but I would have a concern reading the report that what he's actually going to do is simply restrict the grounds for granting co-living rather than an outright ban, which I think is what most sensible people want.
Okay, so that would mean, Enda, that they could go ahead.
They could, but they have to go ahead in compliance with the planning obligations. I think it's interesting that Eoin has brought up the issue of bedsits. When we banned bedsits, almost 10,000 of them overnight, effectively, in Dublin. And, you know, when you look back retrospectively, that has been a huge contribution to the housing crisis, to the homeless crisis. Because whether we like it or not, bedsits are definitely not an ideal type of accommodation. But they provided affordable accommodation for a certain cohort of the community. And I think this is one of the challenges we face in terms of dealing with the current housing crisis. We tend to look at smaller individual issues as opposed to looking at a bigger picture. Housing crisis can be addressed by multiple parts, be it social housing and affordable housing, but we need different elements to contribute to a solution.
But you see, you said there earlier on that you wouldn't live in one of these, that, you know, it wouldn't suit a family, for example.
No,
but what will end up happening is that families will end up in these units and they will be completely unsuitable for families.
Well, the first thing is, I don't understand why we would assume that families will end up in these units. Why would they? If we are taking the approach I'm advocating, which is a more holistic approach, where we provide different types of accommodation for different cohorts of the community, they shouldn't end up in this type of accommodation if we do our job right. But if we focus in on the minutiae of one type of property, as opposed to looking at the broader sense, we're not going to solve the problem.
Okay. And Eoin, just on that, are these not suitable for students or young single adults who might like to live in this sort of accommodation?
Well, the young adults that I represent and that speak to me about these issues on a regular basis are telling me they don't want to be charged €1,300 a month for 12 square metres of personal living space. They want good quality, affordable homes. So the only people who want co-living are the equity investors who are looking to gouge the maximum levels of profit from very scarce inner city land. The minister's report from the department rightly highlights the fact that this is actually having a negative impact on land prices in places like Dublin 7 and Dublin 8. And is undermining the ability of either the private sector or the public sector to deliver genuinely affordable homes. So we need to scrap co-living. It's not the appropriate use of land. It's not a good way to meet people's housing needs. And then exactly then it says we need a variety of different mechanisms to deliver good quality affordable homes. But these are the size of a car parking space. 12 square metres of private living space for €1,300 a month is not a good thing in our city, and it shouldn't be allowed under our planning code.
Okay, and would you build these if you could?
I think you'd build them in certain locations where people require the accommodation. Yes, you would. I think, and that's the point, we need to look at housing. We build what's required, where people want it and when they want it. I would argue somewhat a little bit on the terms of the price. Obviously, there are other issues dictating price, and as Owen has highlighted, cost of land is one thing, and then the expense has gone into building. And I mean, that's another point. We need to look at the cost of building all across the country. But one point I will dwell on, and it's very important, consistent changes like this to our planning laws and to how we look at housing, what it tends to do is it tends to impact the market. It slows down decisions and it slows down the overall solution to the problem, okay, which is building more properties in city centres that give people affordable homes.
And we'll let you go. Thank you very much for joining us. Owen, I just want to ask you about another story. The Irish Independent reporting today that Sinn Féin's Dublin office paid for Facebook ads promoting a party event in Belfast and also for ads that were promoting politicians who were running in the Westminster elections. Fine Gael is saying that they're going to report this to Standards in Public Office. Is there a breach?
No, absolutely not. We are fully compliant with both our requirements under SIPO here in the south and the equivalent regulations in the north. You know, John-Paul Phelan clearly has nothing better to do with his time than hoke around our Facebook ads. These were two ads for two public meetings online. I think they cost about €200 each, and they are fully in line with regulations north and south.
But was money used from the party in the Republic to fund that advertising for the north?
And there is, as far as I understand, there is no restriction or regulation breach in doing so. Obviously, any money we spend in the South has to be fully compliant with SIPO regulations, and we submit our audited accounts to SIPO on an annual basis and continue to do so. So has there been any breach of the regulations we're required to adhere to under law, North or South? No, there hasn't. And Fine Gael should go and focus on the real problems in our society, like housing, health, childcare, and not engage in this kind of nonsense.
Okay. Do you not operate separately, though, on the Six County and the Republic?
We have to comply with two completely different sets of regulations, north and south. We would much prefer if there was only one set of regulations on the island, but there are two and we comply with those. But for example, one of the events was an All-Ireland event featuring our Stormont leadership team. But these are events that, for example, I participated in that particular event and watched it. And like I say, any money
that,
we spend
that might be
is
moot
fully
if it's
compliant.
If it's an All-Ireland event, that might be moot. But if you are promoting somebody's election to Westminster and using funds from the Republic of Ireland Sinn Féin account, surely that is a breach.
Well, first of all, it's not a breach of any SIPO regulations, but I don't believe it's a breach of any regulations that we have to comply with in the north either. We are fully compliant with those regulations, north and south, and we'll continue to do so.
Okay, Owen O'Brien, thank you for joining us. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.